Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
For the sake of accuracy, of course, whatever we do by faith, and we expect that with time we are growing, and if we are faithful to continue to follow God, God is also faithful to give us more light. That is one thing that I am very sure of. If we are faithful to follow God, God is faithful to give us more light. There are certain mistakes that God will deliberately allow us to make because they are essential for what God wants to do with us. When I mean, of course, I'm not saying committing sins and all those things, but we, like Paul said we know in part. Said we know in part. And we prophesy in part. We know in part and we prophesy in part. So, I will just do a kind of a revision of some of the things we looked at last week, and then I will just add a little to it. We have been looking at the issue of the oracle, and last week we saw that the experience that God brought Moses to, God caused Moses to come up to the mountain of Sinai when God wanted to give him the testimony, and God told him, God had already given him the testimony in the first instance. Moses broke them. I used to say that Moses was the first person that broke the law, not even the children of Israel. Moses was the first person that broke the law, because when he came down with the testimony, the two tables, the two stones were in his hand, and when he saw what the children of Israel were doing, the Bible says he broke the law, he smashed them. And, you know, grinded them into pieces and poured them into the river and forced the children of Israel to drink it. And, you know, God held him responsible. God told him, he said, let's see, Exodus 34, and the Lord, verse 1, Exodus 34, 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, he who did two tables of stone like unto the first, and I'll write upon this table the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. You see that God held him responsible for breaking those tables. He said, two stones and bring them. I'll write on them the words I wrote in the first which you broke. So Moses, who was the giver of the law, was the first breaker of the law. Hallelujah. Amen. But so we saw that God called Moses, brought him, asked him to come up the mountain, and he was there for 40 days, 40 nights. And in the course of those 40 days, 40 nights, Moses had a lot of interactions with God that we don't have the details. And then he came down and he came with the two tables of testimony. Came down with the two tables of testimony, which were the covenant of God with Israel. Those two tables of testimony were the covenants of God with Israel. And then we saw that God told Moses, God was telling the children of Israel, the writer was talking about Moses. He said God spoke to Moses face to face. And then we saw that, of course, the Bible said that God spoke with Moses face to face, but we also now saw that Moses did not see the face of God. We established all these things last week. We said that because God told him, Moses asked him, he said, God, show me your way, that I may know you, that I may have grace in your sight. And then God told him, my presence will go with you and all that. And then later Moses said, God, show me your glory. And God said, I'm going to cause all my goodness to pass before you. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. He said, but my face, You cannot see. He said, because no man shall see my face and live. He said, you can't see me. And so if the Bible says that Moses communicated with God face to face, and God now told Moses that you cannot see my face, of course, that means that there's difference between communicating with God face to face and actually seeing the face of God. That there are two different things entirely. And in trying to explain what the oracle stands for, I now say that so we try to explain what it means that Moses communicated with God face to face, that God spoke with Moses face to face. We said, number one, it means that Moses had a direct communication link with God. That Moses had a direct communication link with God. Numbers chapter 12. We saw that in Numbers chapter 12. Let's go there. Like I said, I just want to do revision and then just put one or two additions and then we'll be done. Numbers chapter 12, verse 6. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So we saw God said, I will speak to him face to face. Meaning, and we said that means, number one, that Moses enjoyed direct communication with God. He didn't need somebody to stand as a medium. Moses didn't need somebody to stand as a medium between himself and God. When Moses came into the most holy place, Moses has a direct access into the most holy place. And so anytime Moses comes into the most holy place, he has a direct access to God. It's not that God is not sending a prophet to him, and a prophet or a priest is not connecting Moses and God. And so, and then we also said that face to face also means that God spoke to Moses in plain language. That God spoke directly to Moses in plain language. God told, he was telling Aaron and Miriam, he said, see, if there are prophets among you, I will speak to them in visions. I will speak to them in dreams. They may need interpretation. But when I communicate with Moses, there is no need for interpretation because I bear out my mind to him. I cause him to understand what I am doing. And so we said that was the level of relationship that Moses enjoyed with God. And we said that experience that was on the mountain was what God brought down into the tabernacle. Because when the tabernacle was erected, Moses did not need to go up Sinai again. We know that. When the tabernacle was erected, Moses did not go to, he didn't need to go up to the Sinai again. All he needed to do was to go into the oracle, which is the inner sanctuary or the most holy place, and there he will meet God. Like we have established that the purpose of the oracle was for meeting with God and for communion. And then we just took it further. That it meant that there was open, he had access to God. He had a direct link to God, not just for prayers alone, but for answers to questions. Not just for prayers. Now, you look at, when you look at the way God deals with the prophets, as, you know, look at the Jeremiah and all that, of course, there were times when God came. God came to them and interacted with them. But you discover that level of, now, there was a time some elders came to Jeremiah. They came to ask him some questions. He told them, I will get back to you in 10 days. Hello? He told them, he'll get back to them what? In 10, I don't know why it chose 10 days. I don't know why he decided that it was in 10 days that was going to come. But why Moses was in the wilderness, Moses did not need to wait 10 days to get an answer to a question. God was readily available for him in the oracle. In fact, sometimes God is there already communicating. We saw that in Numbers chapter 7. that Moses went to talk with God, and while he was there, he was already hearing God speaking from the most holy place. And so he just went and had a communion with God. So he had a direct answer, not just for prayers alone, but for instructions, for answers to questions. And then he could understand clearly what was God communicating, what was God saying. Unlike the prophet, that we found out that most of the dealings of God with the prophet were in parables and in, you know, like he said, in visions, and in visions, in dreams, and all of those things. Hallelujah. Amen. And that is why there are some people that believe that the only means by which you should be led is the written scripture. Some people, I'm just digressing, some people don't believe that dreams, visions are very important, that we have the word of God and we should allow the word of God to lead us. Excuse me, where in the scripture did they write the name of the person you should marry? Hello? I've read the Bible many times. There is nothing like Moni Nkola there. There is no place where they wrote Moni Nkola. Odi, marry Moni Nkola. There is no place like that. So if you say that the Bible is, there are many things that God will guide us along. There is nothing, I of course, it's Power and Glory Tabernacle. There is no place where they wrote it like this in the scripture. And then Pastor Shea saw and said, Power and Glory Tabernacle. They didn't put it like that. So there are many things God will communicate to us. Of course, it's communicating for us from the basis of the word, but not that it is only through the word. Visions and dreams are still very, very necessary. In fact, it's because you don't have an understanding. If you have understanding, you know that many of the things that we call the word of God are visions. They are visions. Most of the experiences of Isaiah are visions. They are visions. Jeremiah, God dealt with the prophet in different ways. Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me. When you go to Isaiah, you hardly see the word of the Lord coming. He talks about vision. When you even look at the beginning of Isaiah, you know it is vision. Ezekiel is more of visions. Habakkuk, he said, I will stand upon my word. I will see what he will say to me. Meaning that God will speak to me through what? Vision. So most of the things that Habakkuk even wrote down, they came by visions. So if you say that not vision and all those things, the Bible you call the word of God is more of visions. Paul said, when I come to visions and revelations. The book of Revelation, what is it? Is it not vision? Amen. So that is not an accurate school of thought. You only shut down the prophetic. When you talk like that, you shut down the prophetic and you don't allow God to be able to come to people, pictorially give them and all that. So it's not just the word of God. No, of course, the Holy Spirit can lead us through the scriptures, but there are certain basic things that have been written that we must not go against. Any vision that is in contradiction to the written word should be discarded. Do you understand what I'm saying now? If you now have a vision that says, you already have a wife, you are married. You now have a vision that an angel appears to you that take a second wife. For I, the Lord, has something to do with your life. You know that is not, you get that kind of a thing. So, but not that you now say, no, it's not about vision, it's not about dream. Please, they are very, very essential things. They make Christianity more interesting. Christianity will be boring if all there is. No, there is more to it than that. Do you get it? Alright. So, God, Moses, that's just, by the way, Moses had this level of interaction with God. He could speak with God directly. He needed not somebody to, serve as an intermediary, and then he could get God's mind clearly without ambiguity. He could get God's mind clearly without ambiguity. Do you know that even Moses knew the end of the law? He knew where the thing was. And he knew, Moses saw, he knew these things. The Bible says that Moses veiled himself, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. So Moses himself knew the point at which that thing ceases to hold. But he veiled himself, of course, and that constituted a veil for the children of Israel.
And that is why they are still where they are today, except God opened them. And so we use that to explain what the oracle means to us, in a way. That the oracle means that now we have direct access to God, we can communicate to God. We saw that in John chapter 16. Can we quickly go there to in John chapter 16? John chapter 16. At least for those of us that were not around last week, you will be greatly benefited. John chapter 16, I want to read verse 23. John chapter 16, verse 23. And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, look at verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. These things have I spoken to you in Proverbs, meaning I have used riddles. I have spoken to you in such a way that it is not easy for you to understand. Say, for instance, the riddle of Samson to the Philistines. There was no way they could have interpreted that riddle except that this thing is giving me. Except that there's no way that they could have interpreted that riddle. Please, can you help me? It's distracting me, seriously. There's a speaker that is making noise here. Hallelujah. Alright. Let's move forward. So, they couldn't interpret the riddle. It was Samson himself that gave the interpretation to, what's her name now? It was not even Delilah yet. It gave it to the woman she met, I think maybe Timnath or so, and the woman gave the interpretation to them. That's what Jesus was saying. I'm speaking to you in such a way that you will not easily understand. It will be difficult for you to understand. He said, now I've spoken these things to you in parables. Technical, I'm still waiting on you. I've spoken to you these things in parables. He said, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. It's getting worse. Thank you. Okay, these things, that's verse 25, John 16, 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. But I shall show you plainly of the Father. Now, for me, to a degree, this is like the kind of thing that God spoke about his interaction with Moses. And then verse 26, he said, at that day, ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. This is very instructive. Jesus said, the day I'm talking about is not a time that I am going to pray for you. I will not serve as a medium between you and God. Now, that does not negate the intercessory ministry of Jesus Christ right now. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. The Bible said that he's interceding for us. And one of the reasons why we can be very sure that we are going to be saved to the end is because we have an intercessor with God. Do you understand what I'm saying? That does not mean that right now he's not interceding on our behalf, but that also means that we are in a day whereby we can communicate with God and we need not that somebody go to pray on our behalf. He said, I'm not going to pray for you. He said, but you will ask the Father, of course, in what? In my name. Do you understand that? Hello? So, we see that here, according to what Jesus is saying here, we are already working in a reality of a dimension of the most holy place. Hallelujah. We're already walking in the dimension of that most holy place. Hallelujah. And so we're able to establish that last week. I want to see what other thing do we have to. Okay, so let's go to Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews. Yes, there was another thing I said that last week. I think we should just start from there. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19. Having laid those foundations we have. He said, having therefore brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The holiest here is simply the oracle. That's the most holy place. Having therefore brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Let us do what? Let us draw near. Now, in our spiritual world, there is something called our journey into the holiest. Now, these things, we must put them in right perspective. Now, there is a way we can say that, of yes, we're already in the holiest. We're already in the most holy place. We are not trying to enter into the most holy place. But that will not be in perfect agreement with what the scripture teaches. It says, having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Verse 22 now says, let us what? Draw near. The word draw near means let us approach. Hello? Let us do what? Let us approach. He didn't even use the word let us enter. He said let us what? Let us approach. There's a difference between approach and entry. Approach means that you are shortening the distance. You are filling up the distance and you are moving closer. Meaning there is a gap. There is a distance that must be covered. It's that let us draw near with a true heart. Meaning I'm supposed to be going through a process of approaching God, which I could not have done before. Now, in the Old Testament, only priests can approach. Hello? Only what? Only priests can approach. In fact, the one of the basic meaning of a priest in the Old Testament is one who comes near. Is one who does what? Is one who comes near. A priest is one who comes near. Every other person does not have the capacity to come near. You cannot come near, otherwise you are going to be destroyed. But in the New Testament, he says, now, we have no reason to be afraid. Why? Because in the blood of Jesus, we already have boldness. Now, what I'm required to do is to take use of the boldness that I have and approach. Come near. Come close. And he told us how we are supposed to come close. How did he let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. When you read through the whole of that scripture, you discover that it told us so many things that are supposed to be our Christian practice. That's where we saw not neglecting the gathering of the brethren and all that and all that. Now, having said that, I want to show us another thing about the oracle. Now, we have said that the place of the oracle is a place of direct communication with God. We have said it's a place of, hearing God clearly. But I also want to show us that the place of the oracle is also synonymous with the glory of God. The place of the oracle is also what? Synonymous with what? The glory of God. It's actually a place of his appearing. The place of the oracle is also the what? A place of his what? Of his appearing. Leviticus chapter 16 verse 2. We have said this before, but let us just go through it again so that we can remind ourselves. Leviticus chapter 16 verse 2. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron your brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil, before the mercy seat which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon what? I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. It means that the place of the oracle is the place of the appearing of God in His glory. The place of the oracle is the place of the appearing of God in His glory. But I remember I told us something. I said that God did not appear in His glory. How do I put it now? The way the glory of God appears in the most holy place is that He clothes Himself with what? With a cloud. And so we said that even Moses, with all the level of his interactions with God, he did not see the bare glory of God. That was what God told him in Exodus chapter 34, 33, that no man can see me and what? And live. That if I unveil my naked glory, you would die. You would die. So in that Exodus 34, I don't want to be taking us back. We now saw that when God promised him, don't worry, I will come. The Bible said that the Lord descended in a cloud. But the glory of God was covered by that cloud. Even there, even in that covered revelation of God's glory, so you saw how much that it was so beautiful that the face of Moses was shining. Despite the fact that it was not even the bare glory of God that he saw. Amen. So I said that the oracle is synonymous with the glory of God, the appearing of God's glory. I want us to see two instances where that glory, I believe, came in bare form. And we really saw what. Let's look at, where is it? Exodus chapter 40, when the temple was eventually fully built. Exodus chapter 40. This is a long reading. Am I sure? I don't think I want us to do this reading because of time. Exodus chapter 40. Exodus 40 verse 17. And it came to pass in the first month in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. And Moses reared up the tabernacle and fastened his sockets. Blah, blah, blah. Verse 20. And he took and put the testimony into the ark and set the staves on the ark. And put the mercy seat above upon the ark. Now, let's go to verse 33. And he reared up the court, he ran about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses did what? Finished the work. What is the result? Verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. What happened to Moses? And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord did what? Filled the tabernacle. Moses has been going to that same place. He even entered into the most holy place, and nothing happens. But when the temple was fully reared and everything was put in place, that same cloud came, covered it, shielded the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled the place. When that happened, even Moses couldn't stand there. Even Moses didn't stand there. Let's look at another place. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Does all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold, and all the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Now, when Moses, we're still going to read a little more. When Moses was talking about, when they were giving us the story of Moses' temple, you got that they started from the most holy place down. It's like when you are counting the heavens, it's either you can't, you say, you know, Paul talked about the third heaven. The third heaven, if you are counting from up, you thought the third heaven, second down like that, Or you can also start from down here and go up. Do you understand? Whichever way, there's something I want us to just see here. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Solomon had already built the temple, but there was only one thing that was remaining. What was that? What was the only thing that was remaining? It was the Ark of the Testimony. Hello? It was what? The Ark of the Testimony. So they assembled the elders and then they went to bring out the Ark. Now, if you just read down, I don't want to take too much time here. You just read down, they just told us about how, told us about the oracle again. Then verse 9. And they drew out the staves of the Ark, that the ends of the staves were seen from the Ark before the oracle, but they were not seen without. And there it is unto this day. There was nothing in the Ark, save the two tables, which Moses put therein at Horeb. When the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, 11, and it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that is after they have set up the most holy place, now when they have put the ark has entered into his rest, and then it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, and did not then wait by cause. Also the Levites, each were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Aman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for his good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with the cloud. Even the house of the Lord. So that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had done what? Had filled the house of God. In both instances, when Moses reared the temple and finished it, and the ark was put in place, the Bible says that the cloud came and the glory of God filled the house, that even Moses, who is the minister of that testament, could not even stand there. Why? Because I believe that in the temple at that time, the glory of God was bare. Because all the interactions of God in the time past, the Lord would descend in the cloud and would talk to Moses. And Moses would see the cloud and there would be interaction. And that alone was able to produce glory on his face. But when the temple was finished and everything was put in place, the cloud came, the glory did not just stay within the cloud, it filled the temple, and even Moses had to exit the temple. He couldn't stand there. Now, in this same instance, when Solomon came and built the temple, after he had built everything and everything had been done, the oracle has even been made, they went and fetched the ark and brought the ark into the most holy place. And as the priest began to sing, the Bible said the cloud came, the glory of the Lord filled the house of God, so that even the priest could not stand to minister. Now, I believe something, that all of these things are parables. As it happened in the time of Moses, as it happened in the time of Solomon, and we are talking about the glory of God. It means that the glory of God we are talking about is attached to the house of God being built. Right now, we have seen two witnesses that it is the house of God that inhabits the glory of God. But there is something that is central. Where is that glory coming from? Of course, the Bible said the glory fills the place. But there is a fountain of that glory. We know that that glory is coming from the oracle. Do you understand what I'm saying? We know that that glory is coming from the oracle. And there is something that is producing that glory. It is what? It is a testimony. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we have some other epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was what? If the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was what? Glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For unto this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hand. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by what? The Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, but we are with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from what? From glory to what? To glory. It means that the proportion of image is the proportion of what? Glory. So there is an attachment between the glory and the what? And the image. I'm trying to show us something. The glory of the Old Testament was as a result of those what? Two tables. That's what Paul showed us from in that 2 Corinthians 3. He called it the ministry of death and the ministry of condemnation. And I think we understood that. For some weeks we dealt about the law. Romans chapter 7 verse 10. Let's look at Romans chapter 7 verse 10. What does it say? Romans 7:10. It says, Romans 7:10. Romans 7:10. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be what? Unto death. The same testament, he calls it the ministry of condemnation. Why? Paul said it in the same Roman. He said, God did not give us the law. He didn't give them the law so that the law might be kept. He said, but so that everybody might become what? Guilty. So that everybody might become what? Something that makes you guilty. Is that what? That's condemnation. He called it the ministry of condemnation. Now, he said, if the ministry that brings death and that brings condemnation could be that glorious. So that even Moses' face was shining. Now, he's now comparing that with the New Testament. There is something I'm trying to talk about. Think that. One of the focal things, and I said this when I began to talk about the oracle, that one of the focal things about the oracle is actually that what? That testimony. It's actually that what? That testimony. Because that testimony was what was producing the glory. The reason why God was coming was because of that covenant. That was agreement of God with Israel. We said this at the beginning. That we said that the oracle is a place of communion. And I said that the reason why God was coming, he said, God meet me that to meet by appointment or to meet by agreement. That the agreement of God with Israel was the testimony that he gave them. For as long as Israel stayed with those things, God was going to come. And once the ark is installed, the ark itself, the installation of the ark in the temple is a symbolism of the finished. That's it. Once that thing is there, that ark is done. And once that is done, the glory of God is going to come.
So if we are talking about the glory of God, the glory of God, the glory of God, if there's anything that is keeping the glory of God from coming, it's the same thing, which is that thing. So if we are talking about the oracle, and talking about the oracle, if there's anything we are going to talk about, is we have to talk about what? Our own New Testament, our own testimony. Hallelujah. That is what is important. That is what is all that God is doing. The whole purpose and agenda of God is coming to the place where he can successfully install what is called the image. Is actually that testimony. These things are clear. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from what? From glory to what? To glory. So if there is anything that we have to do in the New Testament, is that there is a transformation that should be taking place. He said, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What is holding back glory is our own change. Now, why am I saying all of this thing? I said that the oracle is the place of the appearing of His glory. That the place of the oracle is what? Is the place of the appearing of His glory. And that is not just going to happen until the fullness of the old work has been done. You know, there are a lot of things that I've just been thinking about, a number of things that I've really been trying to see what, you know, the New Testament and all that. And I just thought that it is possible for us to just, you know, so many things and just talk about a lot of things that we are not really. There's a lot that God needs to open our. Hallelujah. So the question we're going to ask ourselves is this. He said, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. What is the glass? What does it mean by beholding as in a glass? Can somebody help me? What does that mean? Beholding as in a glass. What is a glass? He said, but we are with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Now, this is my point. I believe that this scripture has something to do with the oracle. Because, actually, the temple, when you talk about the first tabernacle is not really a place of glory. It talks much about light. Hello? The first tabernacle talks much about what? About light. You hear light. The candlestick are in the first tabernacle. Talks about light. But it is when you enter into the most holy place, you start talking about what? About glory. Hallelujah. In the first tabernacle, what you meet there is the candlestick. Who talks about the ministry of the Holy Ghost, of course, you know, giving us light and all that. But when you begin to talk about glory, you are talking about an activity of the most holy place. We are talking, and that is why I believe that to a large extent, right now, we are partaking of that ministry. It is still the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It is still what? It is still the Holy Ghost. It is not just the activity of the Holy Ghost did not stop in the holy place. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is still the same Holy Ghost that is also working, it's still the one that is handling the ministry of glory. But the only thing is that he's taking it further. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, he hears Paul saying, I pray that you may be filled with the knowledge of the means, that it will grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Did they not have the Holy Ghost before that time? Hello? At Ephesians chapter 1, did they not have the Holy Ghost? Are they not baptized with the Holy Ghost? Not, but Paul was also still saying, I'm praying that God will give to you the spirit of wisdom and what? And revelation, meaning that the same Holy Ghost, the operation of Him, there is a progression in the dealing of the Holy Ghost, even with us. He said, if you endure chastity, he said, God deals with you as with what?
as with sons. It means that if you do endure chastening, the dealing of God with you is not according to sonship, but according to babe. It is still the same Holy Ghost that is working. It's relating with one as a child, it's relating with another one as a son. So it's the same Holy Ghost that is working in the holy place, giving life, and it's still the same Holy Ghost that is the most holy place that is handling the ministry of glory. Hey. So, he said, but we are with open face beholding us in a glass. What is a glass? I was trying to check and I saw this one and I just think it helps us. He said a mirror, because that word glass there means mirror. He said a mirror is an object, a person or an event that reflects or gives a picture of another. He says a mirror is an object, a person or event that reflects or gives a picture of another. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Verse 12. John chapter 16 verse 12. Don't forget, a mirror is an object, person or event that reflects or gives a picture of another. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Yes? How be it? When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Hello? He shall not do what? He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he what? Speak. And he will show you what? Things to come. What does a mirror reflect? Is the image that stands before it. Is that not? I want you to look at what Jesus, if you have spiritual sense, you can begin to connect these things. He said, albeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come, yes? He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall what? Show it you. Now, in the New Testament, the way we interface with the ministry of glory is through the Holy Ghost. He said, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, beholding as in the glory, please give me that 2 Corinthians 3. You know, sometimes when you are fast like this, you know, these things. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Now, the Lord has been glorified. Hallelujah. The Lord is not here with us. He has been glorified. But now the Holy Ghost is the one that is giving us the true picture of who he is. I don't know if you even understand this thing. He said, but we are with open, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of what? Of the Lord. So what the Holy Ghost is doing right now is that the Holy Ghost is taking up Christ and is showing it to us. And the Bible says that as we fellowship with that thing, there is a transformation that is what? That is taking place. And it is on the premise of this transformation, when we have received all of the transformation, that the fullness of God's glory can come in our midst. Mind you, it says from glory to what? To glory. And I mark my word. I said the fullness. I'm not saying so. And you saw that even though there was activities of glory in the temple, but when the ark was finished and when the testimony was put in place, when it was installed, when the testimony was installed, you see, there are many spiritual realities that are already locked up in the spirit. The Bible says that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But the power of those blessings will not be activated until they find their residence in the saints. Hello? It is not, the food you have in the store is of no use to you until it gets to your table and you eat it. Hello? Say, we have so much. Oh my God. Have you seen our store? Have you been to our house before? Have you seen our store? Oh my God. But you are dying of, you are hungry. So it's not just what God has. It's not just what he said, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings, heaven places in Christ Jesus. Thank you. Now, you know the testimony was already available. Moses had received the testimony. But the testimony is not just meant for Moses, it's meant for Israel. Hello? The testimony is not just meant for, in fact, most of the privilege that Moses had was because Moses was to receive for them. It was not just supposed to end with Moses. So Moses received, it was supposed to get back to the children of Israel. And so even though the testimony was available, they have done everything. It was until those things were installed. And everything was put in place before the glory of God what? Filled the house of God. Hallelujah. That's in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. There's something I'm looking for. Okay. Let's take it from verse 12. Hebrews 10, 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also, look at that, for by one offering he had done what? He had perfected forever them that are what? Sanctified. Verse 15, I'll say, the Holy Ghost is also a witness. For after that he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He now said, now where remission of this is, there is no more what? Offering for what? For sins. Verse 19 now says, having therefore boldness, brethren, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us do what? Let us draw near. Why are we drawing near? It's for the sake of what? The testimony. He has already said it. He said he has perfected them that are what? That are sanctified. You know, the Holy Ghost is a witness. The Holy Ghost has said it before, that this is the covenant that I'm going to make. I will put my laws out. He now said, when this thing is done, he said, there is no more offering for what? For sin. A man cannot come to this position. There is nothing you want to do about sin, because that man, what am I trying to say in essence? This is my position. What you truly call New Testament perfection is that covenant. Let's take it again. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 12. Hebrews 10, 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had done what? He has perfected forever them that are what? Then verse 15 now says what? He now says, concerning this matter, the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. He's talking about the perfection. He said, whereof the Holy Ghost, now Jesus Christ by one offering has perfected forever them that are sanctified. He now said, whereof the Holy Ghost is a witness to us. For after that he has said before, that this is the covenant that I will make with them after those they fear the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I do what? Will I write them. Then verse 18, and their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. Yes, but now we're remission of this, there's no more offering for sin. Verse 19 now began to, that is, all of these things is what culminated into verse 22. That now say, let us do what? Let us draw near. Why? Because now we have boldness. Now, the testimony is not in the outer court. The testimony is nowhere. It's not in the holy place. The testimony is in the most holy place. Because that is where perfection was what? Was wrought for us. Hello? Perfection was wrought for us where? In the most holy place. Perfection was wrought for us in the most holy place. That was where Christ perfected and finished the work. the real finished work was not even on the cross. After he died and he was buried and he rose from the dead, he went to God and went with his blood. That was where he presented himself to the Father and purged us and perfected us. So if we are coming, so why are we coming? The reason why we are coming is that we might receive what he has already, what he has done. Paul said that all I am doing is that I may apprehend that of which Christ has been apprehended of me. That if there's anything I'm doing, there is something Christ has laid hold of me already. What I'm doing right now is that I want to lay hold on what he has already laid hold for what? For me. What I'm saying is this, there is a journey. There is a journey we are supposed to embark. The purpose for our drawing near is so that we might receive the testimony, not just in the spirit, but where? In us. And when that is done, that is when the fullness of God's glory can really be unveiled. So, it's not ambiguous. I've already said it. I said what the Holy Ghost is doing right now is that he's taking of Jesus and he's what? And he's showing it to us. Once you are going through that experience, if you are going to 2 Corinthians 3:18, but with all with open face, beholding as in a mirror, meaning that through the Holy Ghost, we are seeing the exalted Lord. That there are communications of his present glory, who he is right now. If there is a communication through the Spirit of the Lord, and we are relating with the true hope of the New Testament, he says, as we have that interface, there is a corresponding change that is taking place inside of us. That is how we receive the testimony. Amen. That I will put it in their minds, and I will do what? I will write it upon what? Now, mind, heart. Mind, heart. The truth transformation is of the heart. Mind talks about teachings. Meaning there's a place of teachings. We have to receive these things through teachings. There are teachings. He said, I'll put it in their minds. They will be taught. He said, I will write it upon their heart. As the Holy Ghost leads us, as we journey, there are transformations that are taking place. And that is, once that is going, what I'm saying is this, you are partaking of the ministry of the most holy place for as long as the Holy Ghost is carrying out 2 Corinthians 3:18 in you. And that is what is going to culminate the end of the age. If you go to Revelation, you see one place where the Antichrist was, the prophet of the Antichrist was talking to people. He said, make an image unto the beast. Hello? He said, do what? He said, they should erect an image unto the beast. That is not a physical image. That is not what? It's not a physical image. Romans 12 has said it. He said, do not be what? Conformed to this world. What the prophet of the Antichrist was preaching is that conform to the world. The image of the Antichrist is actually the conformity of people to the world. When people are, and the same thing happens in the other side, our transformation is our bearing of the image of Christ. Our transformation is our bearing of the image of Christ. And how does these things come? It comes through the ministry of the Holy Ghost as he shows us Christ. As he reveals to us that which Christ has come to in his fullness. And as we receive it and as we look upon it, we are changing. We are changing. The image is being installed. And as we are doing that, the glory of God is coming gradually. It is when that is done that the glory of God can fill the house of God. Now, I have to round up now. What amazed me is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse
First Corinthians 13. Let's, from verse 9. First Corinthians 13 from verse 9. First Corinthians 13 from verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, yes? But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away, yes? When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things, yes? Look, he said, for now we see through a glass, what? Darkly. For now we see through what? A glass, what? But then, what? Even now. Even now. We are not yet seeing face to face. What does then mean? He said, for now we see through a glass, what? Darkly. But then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am what? I'm known. The word darkly. That's what I'm saying, that there are certain things we can claim. And there are certain things we can also not claim. He said, for now we see through a glass darkly. This is still talking about the Holy Ghost here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. You know he talked about building us in a glass. Here he said, for now we see through a glass darkly. The word darkly means a poor reflection. Dimly. Meaning even now, the Holy Ghost is not unveiling in the fullness. Hello? That even now, he said, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then it's going to be what? Face to what? To face. That even in the present dispensation of the revelation of the Spirit, he's still not unveiling the glory of God in its fullness. And that is why we have to only continue to journey by faith. Hello? We have to work. Continue to do what? Hello? Is this teaching, is it hard? For now we see through a glass, what? Darkly. Now, this is Apostle Paul that is writing this. And you know that Paul is an apostle of revelation. He said, for now we see through a glass, what? It is still darkly. We are only still seeing dimly. We are not yet seeing it in the fullness of it. He said, but then face to face. He said, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. When John got to heaven, and he saw the revelation of, how did he describe it? He said that one sat that was to look upon like what? A jasper and what? And a sardine stone. Is that a full description of a person? He did not even see who was sitting. All he saw was the light that was coming from there. Even at the end of the Bible, Revelations chapter 4, when John went to heaven and he saw the throne, and he said, I saw one sat. That was the best way I saw one sat. Yes, I saw one sat who was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. Even he that was seated was not unveiled to me, even in his fullness. At the end of the Bible. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. I close here. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, for we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he what? As he is. still the fullness of the journey. Hello? Now, there is a present appearing that is taking place right now as revelation is coming. But the fullness of it, he said that we now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear. Look at what he said. It does not yet appear what we shall be. We can't fully describe it, but we know that when it shall appear, this is the confidence of this apostle. He said, but we know that when it shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as what? As he is. We're not just going to talk about somebody that looks like a jasper and a sardine stone. That is not the fullness of the description. Saying that one side that is like a jasper and a sardine stone, he's not talking about the fullness. The fullness of it that we can see him as what? As he is. We can describe him as he is. That is the end of this journey. Hallelujah. That is what? That is the end of this journey. And that's the same thing that Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 16. He said, but then it shall be face to face. He said, I will know, even as I am known. That's the high level of knowledge. I don't know how that is going to be. I don't know how, but let's continue to follow God. There must be a consistent pressing in our heart. Let's not just play and say, yes, I'm in the most holy place. I've seen God. You are correct and you are wrong. Because if Paul the apostle could say that we see through a glass dimly, even now, we see through a glass. He wasn't just talking about then. Even now, we see through a glass dimly. We only, as the Lord permit the Holy Ghost to unveil to us, that is all we are partaking of. But if we are faithful to that, Philippians 3:16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. You are not going to receive all the fullness of the revelation of God that one time. It's going to be line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, here a little. But if we can be faithful, it will surprise us some things that God will not really look at, and he will just say, were you faithful with what I committed to you? Were you able to journey with me in faith? And that will suffice. Ah, I will continue to talk because I feel I've not really done well, but I think I leave the rest to the Holy Ghost to do. Thank you. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Can we appreciate Pastor Ogie again?
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.